Good morning, everyone. Khalid, can put that picture up there. I saw this picture on Facebook the other day ago, and I thought it would lead perfectly into what I wanted to speak to you all about today. This picture is just of two good friends, Christopher Robb and Pooh Bear. And Christopher Robb has his arm around Pooh, and he says this to him. He says, "Promise me you'll always remember that you're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think." This is the power of encouragement. Encouraging someone else allows the person to see who they really are on the inside, not who they think they are or what others think they are on the outside. Now, recently God has been speaking to me about this through prayer and through his word to remind me that I also have to encourage other people more. Because I realize when I read God's word that there's nothing more important to God than his people knowing who he created them to be. God has given me many scriptures throughout my life to encourage me. And he also reminded me of someone from my past, from my childhood, who had a bigger impact on my life than I ever realized. And I hope you'll bear with me for a little bit while I go over some things from my past where someone has encouraged me that I know changed my life. Now, I don't know if you know me long enough, but if you do, you've come to realize that I'm a really big baseball fan. I love the game. I love playing it. I love watching it. I love talking about it, coaching it. And unfortunately, my favorite team is the Chicago Cubs, and I could write a whole sermon series on the Cubs, just using my Cubs alone, called Learning Patience. I could write a sermon series on the, I mean, it's been, if there's any Cub fans in the house, it's been like over 100 years since they won a World Series, and you know, if you want, we can write a sermon together called Dealing with Sorrow. This year is not going to be any better. I also know, you'd be surprised by looking at me, but when I was growing up, I was a really small kid. I was small. And my brothers and sisters used to tease me all the time because how small I was. And they even nicknamed me. They still call me this. They nicknamed me Mowgli from the Jungle Book movie. I went back to Chicago and I walked in and my brother, "Hey, Mowgli!" But in my family, you have to realize real quick when you walk in that you got to learn to roll with the punches because we love to tease each other and we also love each other very much. But there was a time in my life where my small size mattered. And even though it shouldn't have. And as I said, I love playing the game of baseball. And when I was little, I used to go outside every day with my ball and club, and I used to throw the ball up as high as I could to myself and get under it and practice catching it. And I'd be pretending to make the game-winning catch. And I would even throw the ball away from myself and run towards it and dive for it and like I won the World Series or something. And my mom would watch me do this every day, and she saw how much I loved the game and how much I loved playing it. And I would ask my mom and dad often to sign me up for the local Little League. And my mom was very protective, and she would tell me, you're too small for sports, Mike. You're going to get hurt. I'm like, it's baseball. Let me play. But she saw how much I loved it, and she eventually gave in and signed me up to play. Now, just as it is today, back then, kids, when you sign them up for organized sports, they usually started like in baseball, like 5 or 6 years old. But I was 9. And I remember that was the first time I was ever on a team. And I remember showing up for my first practice. And I realized I saw all the kids my age, and I even saw some 10-year-olds. And the first thing I saw was I was the smallest on the team. And I remember my coach coming up to me that first practice, and he said, "Wow, you're a small guy." You know, it didn't bother me because my brothers and sisters teased me about this all the time, so it didn't really bother me. And he wasn't trying to be mean; he was just stated the obvious. But I was just happy to be on a baseball team. I was also excited to show the coach my skills. And as practice went on a few weeks, the coach would compliment me often of how great of a job I was doing. I could catch the ball. I threw the ball well to the target. I understood the game. And I could even hit the ball well. But by the time the first game came around, anyway, I was so excited by the time that first game came around. I had my uniform on and my family was in the stands and I was ready to go out there on the field to play this game I love. And as the coach called the starting lineup, my name wasn't called. So anyway, when the coach came up to me and told me, I'll get you in the later innings, you know, and that was fine. I was all right with that. I was just cheering my team on from the bench. And by the time the third inning came around, my coach finally called my name. Now, and he sent me out to right field. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Little League baseball, but right field's a place you put kids that can't catch well, can't throw well. And for you kids out there, that's okay, because it's a place for you to learn to get better. But I was a little confused, because I did well in practice. The coach was complimenting me often how well I was catching and throwing and so forth, so I was confused. So I just reasoned that the other kids had been playing longer than me, and that was the reason why I was sent out to right field. So I figured I'd get my chance to play the other positions eventually. And as the season went on, though, I found my typical position to be a bench warmer up until about the third inning, and then right field. And then I never complained about it. As long as I got the chance to play, I was happy. Now, our team won enough games to be only one win away from the playoffs. And that game, I remember how important that game was. And when that important game arrived, I found my position on the bench waiting to go in after the third inning. But the third inning came and it passed. And I still found myself sitting on the bench. And I still cheered loudly for my teammates. And it was such a close game. We were up by only one run going into the final inning. And in that final last inning, sixth inning, my coach called my name and he sent me out to right field. My team quickly put out the first two batters. It was like 1-2. And we were one out away from making the playoffs. So you can just feel the excitement in the air. And the very next batter got up and he had a shot over the shortstop's head into the gap, got on second base. The next batter got up, hit a single. So now we had, the other team had a man on first and third. And the batter after that took a walk. So we had, the other team had bases loaded with two outs, and we were starting to see this game slip away, and the playoffs slip away. So the next batter got up, and sure enough, he hit a line drive over the second baseman's head, and it was heading straight towards me. And I realized, I remember this so vividly. I remember the ball was like from here to the piano and it was dropping quickly. And I knew I had to run as fast as I could with my glove extended in the air, and I knew I was going to have to dive for it if I had any chance of making the catch. And so as I left my feet, dove for the ball, I heard a thump, and I looked in my glove and the ball was sitting there. And all I remember, I remember my teammates were running towards me. My coaches were running off the bench. My coach lifted me up in his arms and he said, "That was the best catch I've ever seen while coaching." And he set me down and we were all walking off the field celebrating. And the umpire came up to me and he said this. I was thinking I was going to give another compliment, but the umpire said this to me. He said, "Nice catch, kid, but you need to grow some more, and you need to put on some weight." Now, all I can think about as my teammates were all celebrating around me, all I can think about was that I would always be sitting on the bench. No matter how hard I tried or how good I did because of my small size. Now, I continued to play baseball anyway. Eventually, I did spend less time on the bench, and I did get better and better. I was making all-star teams. I played in high school. But those words from that umpire could have haunted me my whole life. You know, I can still vividly hear and see him saying that to me today. And I know that sounds really weird as an adult, why I don't care about that, but I still hear it. Those words mattered to me as a little boy at that time. And they could have had a very negative impact. Words make a difference. But thankfully, that same very year, I had a fourth grade teacher, her name was Mrs. Robinson, and she said something to me that had an impact on my life that was more powerful than any words that umpire said or anyone else. I know now it has been one of the main influences for me entering the ministry. When I was in fourth grade, I was really struggling in math. And to make up for my lack of math skills, I would goof off in class a lot. I was being disrespectful to my teacher as well. But it was just to make up for the lack of my math skills. And anyway, I was trying to take the focus off my perceived weaknesses. And I thought my teacher was getting upset with me for disturbing the class. But if I can get a laugh out of my classmates, it made me feel good about myself, so I didn't care. Well, one day, Mrs. Robinson asked me to stay after class for a talk. And then I knew I was in trouble. And all I could think about as I was walking up to her desk was what she was going to say to me. Was she going to tell me how disrespectful I was, or how stupid I was, or I was failing in math because I didn't pay attention? Or worse, was she going to send me to the principal's office and have my parents call? But as I walked up to her desk, she was just smiling at me. And she said this. She said, "Mike, I know you're struggling in math, but I also know you're a smart kid. I see that in you. I see how kind-hearted you are, and that you were raised to be the loving and respectful kid. You care about people. I see how you treat your classmates and how you're always kind, even when they're not kind to you." You know, and as I stood there, I was waiting for the teacher to lower the boom and tell me, "Stop acting like an idiot in class." And I knew I would be in big trouble. But those words never came. After telling me how smart I was, how kind I was, how loving I was, she said, "That's all. If you want to stay after class each day, I can give you a hand with your math and help you out. I know you can do it, and I know you can get good grades." The rebuke never came. I can tell you, as I was walking away from my teacher, I felt, first of all, very confused. But I also felt more loved and respected than I ever did in my life. Because someone took the time to remind me who I really was, not how I was acting on the outside. God says we are created in His image. Now let me be clear, it isn't just Christians who were created in God's image. Every human being on this earth has been created in the image of God. And it is Jesus who brings that out in us by reminding us who we really are. He reconnects us with the Father in heaven. He reconnects our spirit. And He shows us who our real selves are. We just have to see it. We need to help others see it too. We don't always have to remind people of their perceived weaknesses. Don't you think if they're already coming to you about something, they already know what those are? If they are small, so what? If they have learning disabilities, so what? I will even say, they even have deep sin in their lives. Jesus wants to release them from it and release them to be the person he created them to be. That's the power of encouragement. The day I met with my teacher, I realized I didn't have to measure up to be someone special. I didn't have to be good in math to be smart. I didn't have to be good in baseball, even though I got really good at it. Like, I didn't have to be good in baseball. I didn't have to be a goofball in class for people to take notice of me or deflect my weaknesses. I'm still a goofball, but that's okay. I don't have to be. I can be who God created me to be. Because someone saw something else inside of me. And that person reminded me who I really was. I didn't have to prove myself to be that person either. Because I already was that person. I just needed someone to believe in me. Even if on the outside I wasn't living up to that person I was being on the outside. Now, isn't this what Jesus does for us? Jesus doesn't want us to think we have to measure up to be accepted by him. He is our holiness. Jesus wants us to see who we really are. His holiness is inside every Christian and every person that doesn't know him yet. He wants to give that to them too. To reconnect them to who they really are, their real selves. And to his Father in heaven. Not the person who they think they are, or what other people think they are. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to go through a few verses with you today to remind us again that God wants to show us that he doesn't expect us to measure up to him before he accepts us. Because he already knows who he created to be, us to be. And as we read our Bibles, we come to realize more times than not that God is more concerned with showing us who we really are on the inside, not our actions on the outside. Now, sometimes Jesus would have to remind us of the sin we had in us that came out on the outside. But he always offers us to reconnect our spirit with the Father in heaven to bring out the real person he created us to be. He didn't come to condemn us for our actions on the outside. Jesus wants to remind us who we really are. God is even showing us this through the Old Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God says this. If you have been in the church long enough, you have probably read this verse thousands of times or heard someone say it, and it's so easy to read past it without realizing what God is almost screaming out at us. He's saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. God knows who you are more than what any other person around is thinking you are. And he's saying, I have set you apart. I know what you can do. I know what you have in you. He created you. Jesus so wants us to see who we are. He wants us to see past our perceived weaknesses. He gives us his Holy Spirit to awaken us to who we really are, not the costumes we're wearing on the outside. That is why he came for us. We were blinded, and Jesus just wants us to see it. We are his children, created in his image. That's who we are. In Psalm 127, verse 3, God speaks of children. He says, behold, children are the heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb. In that verse, he's saying that the fruit of the womb are reward. He's saying here, these children that are upstairs today, they're growing up, and they need to understand that God thinks they're a reward. He says it. They don't need to grow up thinking that they're someone they're not. When God says this is who they are, that's who they are. That's who we are. And we need to remind our children of this every single day. God is reminding us of this through the New Testament. If you turn with me to Philippians 4:8, the Apostle Paul was reminding the early Christians who they were too and teaching them what to think of. Paul says to the Philippians here and to us, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever honorable, whatever right, whatever pure, whatever lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. These words include who we are. True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, and worthy of praise. I've heard some Christians say that only God deserves praise. But let me ask you this. If we are created in the image of God, and it is Jesus who that praise is reflected to through us, then shouldn't we be praising one another? Paul is reminding us of this again, to think on these things, because this is who we are. It is who we are created to be. If you see yourself as a person who is too sinful to talk to God, it's a lie. It's not who you really are. I wasn't the person who disrespected my teacher on the inside all those years ago. It was just a costume I was wearing on the outside to deflect the perceived weakness that I thought I had. I just needed someone to show me who I really was. And even my good actions on the outside doesn't make me any better in God's eyes. Making a game-winning catch or becoming an ordained pastor is not going to change the way God looks at me. He's already proud of who I am, and he's proud of who you are too. He just wants you to see it through Jesus Christ. As Christians, Jesus also wants his church to remind other people of this too, that he loves them right where they are, because he knows who they are. He created them in his image. And it's the job of the church to offer Jesus to them so they can see this as well. I want to close with one more verse that Paul is reminding the early church again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, Paul says this to them. You are all sons, and I'm going to add daughters, of the light, and sons and daughters of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Paul is trying to tell them that even if they think they're in the darkness right now, that's not where they belong. It's not who they are. He's reminding them of this again. Even if they're there, they see themselves in that darkness. Paul's saying, that's not who you are. And he closes this chapter out in verse 11 by saying, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Man, this is all over Scripture. This is what God's telling us all throughout Scripture. If you think you're far away from God, it's a lie. I want to close with two points here. If you're struggling with perceived weakness in your life, remind yourself that you're not that person, but the person God created you to be. And as I said, if you think you're far away from God because of the way you live and your actions, you need to know that God is not far away from you. He already knows who he created, and you're no accident. Ask him to forgive you, and he will. And remind you who you were created to be. Think on those things, as Paul said. not in the things you did on the outside. Second point, we need to encourage others by reminding them who God created them to be as well. If you see someone else struggling with something in their life that they need to change, it is more powerful to encourage them by showing them who God created them to be. Not always reminding them of the costume they're wearing. Whatever the perceived weakness you see on the outside of that person, don't judge the person through what you see on the outside. God may have a plan. I know He has a plan for those people. The quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson, was told he was too small to play in the NFL. Many teams didn't want him, didn't think he would be good enough. Too small. I don't know this for sure, but I'm sure I've heard someone in his past who will know you're not. And now he's a star on the field. But more importantly, he's a star off the field. He knows who the Savior is. And he knows who's encouraging him every day, and he's encouraging other people through that. So the person you're speaking to could also be the next church leader. They could even become the next Billy Graham or Martin Luther King. You don't know, but God knows the plan He has for them. So let us encourage each other always. Let us be transparent with each other. We're not always ashamed to admit our perceived weaknesses, because we know and we trust our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all God's children created in His image, and God wants us to see that. Jesus came into this world to remind us again who we are. Adam and Eve knew who they were. They had fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden, but they were deceived by a lie. And Jesus came to expose that lie and remind us again who. He helps us by coming and living inside of us to reconnect us to the Father in heaven and to our real selves. Think on these things. Encourage others by helping them think on these things as well. Help them see past the lie of who they think they are by showing them who they were created to be.